Let us pray. Gracious God, still our minds and awaken our spirits. Help us so to hear your holy word that we may truly understand, and that in understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow in faithfulness and wisdom with glad hearts. Amen. The first scripture reading is Psalm 119, verses 105 to 112. I'm reading from the New English Bible translation. Thy word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light on my path. I have bound myself by oath and solemn vow to keep thy just decrees. I am cruelly afflicted, O Lord. Revive me and make good thy word. Accept, O Lord, the willing tribute of my lips, and teach me thy decrees. Every day I take my life in my hands, yet I never forget thy law. Evil men have set traps for me, but I do not stray from thy precepts. Thy instruction is my everlasting inheritance. It is the joy of my heart. I am resolved to fulfill thy statutes. They are a reward that never fails. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Alice. Friends, we're continuing on in our series with Romans this week, and I will be reading our second scripture reading from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. If you want to turn to that in your Bible or listen along, this is the opening words from Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. It indeed cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. O Lord, the grass withers and the flower fades, but your word stands forever. So may you open it to our ears and our hearts that we might hear and take in to us your good news today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Friends, this summer we are looking at this letter to the Roman church sent by the Apostle Paul. It is a letter of great encouragement, where the love and faithfulness of Christ is juxtaposed against the power structures of the empire. This letter speaks a better word of grace and welcome amidst a culture that held tightly to law and order and emperor worship. In the weeks past, we've examined how the life in Christ invites the ones who feel untethered to find a home. We find a crucified God, a dying God, whose power comes through relinquishing power and rising in resurrection, undoing the powers of death. We find a letter that busts open the whole system of sin and guilt, and instead invites all people to repentance and immense grace that undoes the false choices of sin and death that we are otherwise presented with. And as we dive in deeper today, I have to chuckle because Romans 8 is a turning point. And I chuckle because I find Romans 8 to be a resounding invitation for us to come home. Now, come home, you say? Thanks very much, but we are sick and tired of being home. Stay home, stay safe, stay healthy. Can't we be done with being home? Can't we leave? I love my family and I love my house, but goodness gracious, I do not want God to welcome me to stay home too. Just when I thought the call to shelter in place and wait out the pandemic couldn't get any deeper, I hear God calling me to come home too. I hope you laugh with me. Or I hope you weep from the despair and absurdity of our world right now. All reactions are welcome. And when you've had a chance to breathe, hear it this way. Come home to the deepest part of yourselves, to the truest, most sacred part of the image of God that you bear. Come home in the truest sense, so that you may be at home in forgiven grace wherever you are. Come home to rest in the loving arms of God as you are, no more and no less. That is the home we are invited to, a home in the Spirit. And as we'll see in this text, the home of the flesh is the one that is driving all of us a little bonkers in this season of pandemic. The home we find in the law, in the worship of the powers of the world, the home we find in sin and in the second best, that is not the journey we are invited to take. Rather, the home we are invited to by Christ is one of fulfillment and release from the second best, from temporary structures, from the four walls that we are bound in. Thankfully, and not to undermine the beauty of our homes and the places where we lay our head to rest, we find that the home we have in Christ, in the Spirit, when it is mapped upon our daily life, is within and without and above and below and all through the mundane, the quotidian, the four walls. The law requires us to be fulfilled in the home of earth alone. The Spirit opens the grace that there is a much deeper home we are all invited to belong to. All right. The opening words of our text give us a big clue that a shift is taking place as we read. Paul has outlined the law, the systems of power, juxtaposing Christ with Caesar and the Roman Empire with the story of God. We've all heard the prologue. When reading the letters of the New Testament, if you get to a therefore, you know that it is a pivot moment. Therefore. And so we pivot. Now, what is going on here in this text with all the law and sin and the flesh and the Spirit? Now, we know that flesh or the body breaks down. I've been running and riding my bike a bit more the last couple of weeks. And even as a 37-year-old, I know that the body wears out. My hips hurt. I've been limping. My muscles are sore. My back aches a little more each day. I've got a healthy portion of gray hair coming in, at least on the parts of my head that are still growing hair and not receding. Our pandemic world has made this abundantly clear. The flesh, the body, for all its resiliency and beauty, is fraught with decline and bends toward ailment. Sorry to bum you all out this morning, but we know this to be true, right? There is a vein of spirituality, even in the Christian tradition, that discounts the body, that treats fleshiness as a throwaway, a temporary vessel, and instead points to all things spiritual. We call this Gnosticism. You might say someone is so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. And this is not what I'm talking about. Rather, I'm simply pointing out that the body tends to get weak. And I hope we can all agree on that. And what Paul is doing here is he's likening our commitment to systems of law or power structures that decline, and likening this to the frailty of the body. Because like we worked through last week, the law of sin presents us with a false choice. There is either death or sin, and with that bind, we have no way out. And we witness this every day. Laws and systems of power, while on the surface they protect, underneath and over time, they instead tend to perpetuate violence, racism, and oppression. Again, like the body, I'm not saying that the law is bad. It's just that it has a tendency towards breaking down. Even God's people set up laws to guide how they were to operate together. But the law was never the fulfillment. It was a stopgap, a temporary solution, something that was missing. And what that thing was missing was the presence of the Spirit, which informs and enlivens the law. And so Paul argues that God has gotten acquainted with the flesh through Christ being with us, Emmanuel. Christ, the human who knows our frailty. Thanks be to God. God does not stay perfect and incorruptible, but instead God is nailed to a cross and experiences the fullness of corruptibility, death. I hope you follow me so far. The flesh leads to death, and if we make commitments to the flesh alone, we perpetuate systems of sin and death. It's the inevitable cycle of our struggle as humans. But, and therefore, we are no longer simply living in the flesh. We are being invited home into the life of the Spirit. Before moving on, hear this. Just as Christ was fully human and experienced the breadth of our condition, so we are never to be divorced from our bodies. Our bodies are very important. Our flesh, our breath, our pain, our magnificence, the body is beautiful and created by God and is good. Do not forget this. But what is happening here is that we are being invited into a more full understanding of what it means to actually live in the life of God, in the body, and in the Spirit. Paul's logic gets a little bit black and white, and he's using flesh versus spirit to make an argument. Flesh equals the law, spirit equals resurrection. The resounding beat of this passage, though, comes in verses 10 and 11. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies as through his Spirit that dwells in you. Also through his Spirit that dwells in you. A body, the flesh, without resurrection is dead. The body with the resurrection, with the participation in Christ's loving home and life that is in the Spirit, this is a body alive. This is life in the Spirit, whole body and whole resurrected soul. That is life in Christ and what we are invited to. I was commenting this week to my father-in-law about his new shoes. He got a new pair of ASICS trainers, and I was explaining to him where the name ASICS comes from. Anima sana in corpore sano. It's an acronym, which is Latin for a healthy soul in a healthy body. Hear verse 11 again. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. When we live in Christ's way, we are animated with a new self, a restored body, a resurrected body. We are no longer wasting away, but given newness in life. Do you hear this good news? I hope so. Let's pull back out to consider the good news of a restored body as it sits in the context of finding home and resisting the powers of the empire, which would seek to enslave the body and stifle the spirit. The empire wants you and me to be untethered. Caesar wants us to need him, to need his power, to need his rules, to need the systems that will order our lives and make sure that our mail is delivered on time and that our roads are maintained and that the power stays on and that we pay our taxes, right? The empire wants us to have a dependent relationship with it, with the stability that it provides. And in relying on that stability, we are willing to compromise. We compromise by not speaking ill against the emperor. Certainly, we can ignore the injustices of a colonial band of Roman troops sent to occupy and subdue a foreign power. We compromise by watching those who have less struggle to get by. Certainly, if they just played by the rules, they would get ahead like us, wouldn't they? We compromise by pledging our allegiance to the emperor. Certainly, a little bow and a hand on our heart isn't going to hurt because the benefits of it are amazing. And all the while, we are slowly slipping away. Our bodies are fading. Our hopes are diminished. We become comfortable with the numbness because at least we're comfortable. This is life in the empire, Roman or otherwise. But, therefore, we are called home. Come home, Christ says. You are not without a home, without a belonging. You are not a wandering soul, a motherless child. You and me and we are beloved children of God who belong in the life of the Spirit and in the body that is lived in God's house. And here's where we go all the way back to verses 1 and 2 of chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. The emperor would enslave us to a system of patronage, sin, and death. And it feels good for a while. But we become weary. And so come home. And just like the prodigal son, there is no condemnation when you come home to Jesus Christ. When you accept the loving welcome of living in the Spirit, no condemnation. So come home. Come home to your own body. Come home to yourself. Come home to the Spirit which dwells in you and loves you and receives you. To the refugees, come home. To the sinners, come home. To the estranged, come home. To the poor widow, come home. To the rich man, come home. To the lonely, the forgotten, the depressed, come home. To the trans woman, come home. To the black man, come home. To the privileged daughter, come home. To the prodigal son, come home. In Christ, therefore, you are welcomed home. Not for anything that you've done in order to live according to the law, but simply because you are in Christ, received by the faithfulness and fidelity of Christ. This is your welcome. This is your entry, your passcode, your clearance. In Christ, not the law, not your privilege, not what you've done or left undone, but in Christ, you are received and forgiven and welcomed home. This letter to the Roman Christians is so saturated with grace. To a people who were trying to find a home in the empire that expected their fidelity to Caesar, that expected their participation in the cults and rites and power structures, to a people bound up in a program of complicit participation in the atrocities that only a superpower can commit and get away with, this letter charts a new course, opens a new freedom, speaks a new word of hope. This is a letter of grace and reception. So welcome home. Now, realistically, we are a wandering people. We are looking for home still. Do you know that longing feeling? Because I definitely do sometimes. And I also know the grace and the welcome and the certain assurance that I am a member of the household of God, and I can come home. Friends, this is our simple calling as a church, to welcome people home, to be, as ambassadors of Christ, people who say, you are welcome. Let down your burdens and come home. So wherever you've come from, wherever you are, come home here. It is not far off. The Spirit is alive and around and available and close. So come home. Release what the empire wants you to hold on to, the rules and the pain. You don't need it any longer. Come home to Christ. Now, how, you ask? It's quite simple and quite profound. You say yes to that grace. You say yes to love. You say yes to the truth that what you've been carrying is no longer needed. And lay down your burdens and welcome home. I'm going to close this morning by playing a favorite song of mine that I think draws all of these ideas close to my heart and hopefully close to us. It's called Come As You Are. Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let a rescue begin.
Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table and come taste the grace. Well, there's rest for the weary, a rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. And all who are broken, lift up your face. No wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt and lay down your heart, come as you are. Well, there's joy for the morning, O sinner, be still. And earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. And earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, and come as you are.
Let that be our prayer today, that we are welcomed home in Christ. God's people said,